can produce an allergic reaction in those who are lactose intolerant. Meanwhile, Tyson Foods has recalled 12 million pounds of chicken strips. The frozen ready-to-eat chicken strip items were produced between October 1st and March 8th, with use-by dates of October 1st, 2019 through March 7th of 2020. That recall is because of potential metal contamination, as small pieces of metal have been found in some of those products. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
For more news, check out usaradio.com. For USA Radio News, I'm Tim Berg.
Don't fear technology. Use it, understand it, and embrace it. The mission of Tech Today is to demystify technology. I'm your host, Chris Bianco, principal of Blue Panther Business Partners. Every Tuesday morning from 10 to 11, we will cover new apps, buying advice, technology news, and answer your questions. Good day, and join me on Tech Today on HuntertonChamberRadio.com.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in that critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
We bring to life the pages of Hunterdon County. We will explore the incredible people, places, and businesses that are interwoven into the fabric of our community by discussing the trends, events, what's happening when, and why it's important to you. Curate by Devin LeCompte, Keelan Lattman, Sotheby's International Realty explores the best of Hunterdon County living. Hello and welcome to our third episode of Curate. I am Devin LeCompte, your host and guide as we explore the finest of Hunterdon County living. Please be sure to like, follow, and subscribe to @DevinBLeCompte to learn more about each week's episodes. Now, without further delay, let's get started. Today we are meeting with a public figure in Hunterdon County, Paul Muir. Paul has a long history within our community and is currently involved in many facets of Hunterdon County, from the private sector to the public sector to charitable activities. Paul is a man of many hats and an inspiration not only to me, but to many others as well. In preparing for this episode, I started to research Paul with a little further, and what I found on his LinkedIn profile is quite extensive, as I had imagined. He initially obtained his Bachelor's of Science in Business Administration and Management from Bucknell, in which he then stayed in Lewisburg as a curriculum consultant for his alma mater. He then began working at Fortune Metal Recycling and was promoted to VP, overseeing process and operations of 40 employees. After a few years at Fortune, Paul worked as an assistant manager for AXA Advisors, but this is where it starts to get interesting. This is all what Paul is doing now. He is presently the managing director at Legacy Metals. He is the chief connoisseur at Vintage Motor Car of Hunterdon. He is the managing director of Jugtown Holding, which is a commercial real estate investment firm. He is also the mayor of beautiful Bethlehem Township here in Hunterdon County and the executive director of our coveted Clinton Red Mill Museum Village. Paul, how do you do it?
I say I enjoy everything that I do, so it makes it somewhat easy when you enjoy it.
Uh-oh, that's the mic that's not working this week. We're going to have to get you a new mic. Try that one.
Is this one working?
That one's working.
Okay.
I'll
hold it for now. Maybe I can swap them out. So, I enjoy everything that I do, so that makes it somewhat easy if you enjoy what you do.
Absolutely. So we're going to try to touch on a little bit of all that you do. So what is your story? That was kind of the synopsis that I gave everyone. How did you get started in all of this? Why? I know you have a preference towards business administration and business management, but what is your story?
Yeah, I grew up in a family business, so Fortune Metal is the current name of the company, but it was originally Riverside Auto Parts and then became Fortune Riverside, and now Fortune Weed sold to Fortune Metals, which was a company that we actually helped start and helped us grow rather quickly because we were one of the first to export metals to China back in the 80s and 90s. But so I kind of came from an entrepreneurial background. My great-grandfather had started that business in the late 30s. And then even when I was at Bucknell, I graduated early. I was a teaching assistant while I was there. I rented a garage, and I bought and sold and repaired cars while I was there. I was the president of my fraternity and eventually alumni president, too. So I enjoy being involved. I can't sit still much.
To say the least.
But I try to find things that I like to do. So that's kind of the story. So when I came to Hunterdon County, a lot of that continued on.
Okay. So now we are working, let's see, Legacy Metals, Vintage Motor Car, and Jugtown Holding. What are those?
So
you want to start with one and then maybe work your way down.
Sure. So they're all kind of extensions of what I've always done. And so I grew up in that metals business. And so I can't get away from it. My friends tease me that it's in my blood. So when we sold, my dad and uncle had retired, and I had started my own business then. We do primarily commercial recycling. We have roll-off trucks. We do a lot of demolition and industrial work. So we work in more urban areas of New Jersey. We have a few customers out here in Hunterdon County. But again, it's larger accounts, and we work closely with our former company, Fortune, on a lot of those projects. Again, something I can't stay away from. So Vintage Motor Car, that's an easy one for those who have known me for a long time. I absolutely love cars, probably as much as the Red Mill itself. So when I was 13, I built my first vehicle. My dad and I together, we have a 55 Ford F-100 pickup.
Wow.
And I still have it, and it's kind of continued to grow from there.
Does it still run?
It does. It's actually kind of funny. My dad laughs. It's kind of become the unofficial Red Mill vehicle. It's bright red.
Of course.
Actually, funny things, I don't like red vehicles, but it's bright red, and I had magnets made up that kind of match the paint. So it's Red Mill Museum Village, and it's out there for most events if it's not raining.
That's perfect. And so 55, the Red Mill. What was going on with the mill in 55?
So the Red Mill itself was in great disrepair in 1955.
Okay.
And the rest of the quarry area was still operating as a quarry. So that operated as a quarry until 1963.
Okay. History buff as well, huh?
Yes.
So then Jugtown Holding, that's an investment firm.
Yeah, so I kind of come from an old, I guess old school, if you will, from coming from my dad and grandfather. Any locations that we were at, we always tried to purchase and own. So that's where that came from. And we've established other businesses and moved on. So we'll rent properties. And I'm more leaning towards, I know that you're in real estate
professional. If you ever need a realtor, Paul.
So I like commercial. I like dealing with commercial. It's easier to deal with, in my opinion. I do have a business partner in another business that loves, residential rentals. And we kind of debate back and forth all the time about it. But it suits my needs, and then sometimes if we need a building then too, and it's empty, we can use it for our own businesses.
Okay, so since I am in real estate and we have a little time on air today, why do you like commercial?
I like New Jersey's a renter's rights state, and I think it's just easier to manage the commercial. So the way we have the leases written, it makes it easy to reoccupy. It makes it easier, in my opinion, to enforce the rent payments. Mm-hmm. And kind of control it a little bit better.
Okay, that makes sense. Yeah. Okay, and that was Jugtown Holding. So, on top of all of that, you are the mayor of Bethlehem Township.
Yes.
Can you touch on that a little bit? Why did you decide to work or to to run for the mayoral seat in Bethlehem Township?
Sure. So Bethlehem is a township committee. It's the oldest form of government in the country. And so what a committee is there are five of us, and we're all elected to the committee, and then the committee elects the mayor each year at the organization meeting. It kind of goes back. I reference my family a lot. So my mom was always involved in the schools that I went to. My dad was always involved in the community. His time was that he wasn't able to run for office, but he was always very involved in helping out. And so when I moved to Bethlehem Township, I had met the mayor at the time, and this was almost 20 years ago, and I simply asked, how can I help? And that's where it all started. So she put me on the Economic Development Committee based on my background. I do joke, again, being in real estate is kind of funny. In 2000, there's not much to do on the Economic Development Committee in Hunter County, especially Bethlehem Township. And then I've served on land use boards now almost 18 years, and I've been on the Township Committee for 9 and mayor for 7.
So how did you – it's an elected position.
Yes.
So 1 year you just decided, well, I'm going to run for mayor.
You know, from being on those land use boards, you build a lot of relationships, and I was encouraged by some of the people that were already on the committee. There was a gentleman, a good friend of mine, John Meehan, was talking to me about it for a while, and he was looking to move on, and he definitely influenced my decision, as well as some of the other committee members. And there was an open seat. I actually ran for an unexpired seat. Somebody had to unfortunately move due to work, and then ran for that seat, and that's kind of where it took off from there.
And what year was that when you started doing this?
2011.
Okay, yes. So 8 years now.
Yes.
And are we continuing?
I have two more years on my term of a year and a half, and so I'll be running next year for another 3-year term.
Well, are there how many times can you run?
There's no term limits for a local office.
So okay. Great. Well, anyone that lives in Bethlehem Township, keep that in mind.
Thank you.
And what do you do as the mayor of Bethlehem Township? I'm sure you're the sounding board to a lot of people.
Yeah, you know, we're a small town, and I'm going to take a quick step back. So, like, again, when you ask how do I do what I do, and this goes really for everything, I have some great people that I work with. So that's why I can be in a lot of different places. So, you know, even my own business has taken a while, but we find some great partners and managers that allow me not to be there every single day. And even at the Red Mill, I have a great staff to work with. And in Bethlehem Township, I have a phenomenal staff to work with. So that makes it easier. But we are a small town. So, you know, I've driven the DPW dump truck. I laugh that I had a young couple move to town, and they were upset about a fine for a cat that they didn't pay their licensing fee. And they even asked, why are we talking to the mayor about $5? And I said, well, we're a small town. There's only one other person to talk to, and then I'm the next level. So, we do everything. So, you know, like I said, it's a committee, so we all have an equal vote. So the mayor is more of kind of a process leader. I spend a lot of time with the community trying to understand what their needs are. My children are younger, so it helps out. But, you know, I attend senior meetings, too. My parents live next door to me, so I kind of run the gamut of residents in all the generations right there in Bethlehem. We have 3 generations of my family right there. So I have a lot of respect for what people's needs are throughout the age range in our town.
And why Bethlehem Township? Why did you choose to move there? What is your favorite aspect of that community?
Sure. I'd say I was fortunate to find it. I'll admit I didn't know that much about it.
When I first moved there, it is.
And we have it's 4 zip codes, and obviously none of them are Bethlehem, and so people are not always sure where we even are. It really is a hidden gem. It's a wonderful, you know, we have farms, we have the valley, we have mountains. It's a rather large town, square mileage-wise. But it's also a wonderful mix of people. So, you know, we have our original farmers. We have some of the corporate people that you might think have moved in recently. We have many multi-generation families, which really makes it special. I found it. I grew up a little further east in New Jersey. My wife's from Pennsylvania, and we were kind of looking for some place in between. And that's what our search brought us to Hunterdon County and thankfully to Bethlehem Township.
And we're glad it did.
Thank you.
On that note, we're going to step away to our first commercial break, but we will be back with more from Paul Muir.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in that critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon is an ever-sharp focus on the growth and prosperity of Hunterdon County's businesses. Advancing Hunterdon engages businesses within and throughout the county that are responsive to a call to action as the next chapter in business success. If your business and organization wants to get engaged, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon, a roadmap for economic growth for the business community of Hunterdon.
Hello, and welcome back to episode 3 of Curate. I'm your host, Devin LeCompte, with Keeneland Lapman, Sotheby's International Realty, and I'm here tonight with Paul Muir, a man of many hats. Right now, we are focusing on his mayoral duties in Bethlehem Township. So we were talking about the beauty of Bethlehem Township and how it's, you know, a great middle point right off of 78 and 31, and it's a beautiful town. What's going on in your township now?
So, you know, we were having a lot of discussions, as I think Hunterdon County as a whole, about, you know, finding balance with economic development. So that's one of the big discussions that we have. And the one thing that I like is to engage people, and thankfully we have some residents who are there and making their voices known. And we're looking to find a path forward. So, you know, again, I started on the Economic Development Committee back in 2000. And I learned a lot there. There wasn't a lot going on in Hunterdon County. We had just fought a fierce battle with a developer at that point for a space that's now our Heritage Park. So that's kind of really our downtown. So it's interesting that it demonstrates what can be done to preserve an area and also still make it a part of the community. So other towns around us even use Heritage Park, and it's really become our downtown, if you will. But on the flip side, when I first became mayor, I had mentioned also that we have many multi-generation families in Bethlehem. And you know, I had one particular was very passionate, saying, you know, I'm a third generation here. I'm trying to raise my family, and I want my family to stay here, and I simply can't afford to be here anymore. How can you help me? And that really hit home to me because there were other family members that lived in Bethlehem. This was not a small family. And it made me really think about it, especially somebody now, you know, I'm a first generation moving in there, and what can we do to make sure the families that called it their home can stay? And like you said, something that Hunterdon County is dealing with, something that New Jersey as a whole is dealing with, is keeping their families in intact. And like I said, I'm very fortunate that I have, you know, of course, younger children and that my parents live next door to me, and we can all be there together, but that's not always the case. So, you know, we have Route 173. It's a service road to Interstate 78, and we're looking at opportunities along that route. But again, the key is finding what's complementary to what we already have. We've done an excellent job in preserving open space. We've done an excellent job with preserving farmland. There's still some more parcels out there that could make sense for us. We also look to the county for those, for the open space, and looking to create some sort of trail system along the ridgeline of the mountain. But the push is on 173, and again, looking for something that's appropriate, and it's tough. You know, in the past 3 years, and I think people overlook it, we've attracted 6 small businesses to town, so not a huge impact. It's not, you know, a large company coming in. It's not, you know, 500 jobs. It's 3-4 jobs. It's local business owners. Most of them are owned by people who live in Hunterdon County. Some live right in Bethlehem. But there were vacant properties before, and a lot of them upgraded those properties. So it's wonderful to come up 173 and see a building that wasn't in use now renovated or restored and serves a business and serves a Hunterdon County resident.
Yeah, that's definitely fantastic. Speaking of 173, being involved in real estate, I get to see a lot of the pros and cons within development. And one of the new facets, I guess, to New Jersey now is the Highlands Preservation. Mm-hmm. A lot of 173 is in the Highlands Preservation. How are you working with that?
So, you know, the Highlands has been wonderful in the past, I'd say, 5 to 6 years. We've built a relationship with them, and we're still subject to all the regulations. I will say I always find it interesting that 173 is in the preservation and not the planning area for us, and our planning area is positioned in our beautiful valley. But that's what we have, so we learn to work with that. And a lot of the businesses that we would entice, we try to make that very clear up front what they have to work with. And again, in some respects, I'm also thankful for that because it allows us to set a foundation of what's reasonable for the growth along that route. So there's very few open pieces of property on 173 that are developable. We're looking at things that had previously been empty or not used, that are existing buildings. And there's some potential for expansion there. One of the things that we do, too, is, and again, working with Hunter County, is there's a Route 7822 Economic Development Coalition. So it covers from Reddington all the way out to Bloomsbury. And I like it because, again, talk about that appropriateness. If there's something that comes for Bethlehem that I'm not quite sure is right, but maybe it's good for another community and they don't know about it, or maybe the developer doesn't know that other community could be more suitable, we share and we talk, and that gives us some opportunities. The Highlands actually sits on that coalition with us, so they have some input there. And they're opening up some doors as far as looking at economic development planning through the Highlands. So they're very much a partner in it, and again, protecting their interests. But I think it's good to have that knowledge and have that input.
So for anyone that is listening that does own a business and is looking to possibly relocate to Hunterdon County, what are you looking for in Bethlehem Township, and why is that suitable for these businesses?
Sure. So, you know, and this goes, touches a little bit on why I like commercial space. There's definitely a shortage of commercial flex space throughout the county and probably in New Jersey at this point. So obviously we'll talk about the office parks. They're all around, and I think there's opportunities for them. But that's largely what we're looking for is smaller businesses, smaller flex space, whether it's a light manufacturing. Everybody keeps talking about technology companies. I think there's a certain limit to how many technology companies we're going to find, especially on a smaller scale for Bethlehem Township. But that flex industrial space and light manufacturing, I think, is a real key to us. I'm real leery of warehousing. We've looked at it, and my concern with it is the sustainability going forward in the future. So we're looking at office space now, and so 20, 30 years ago, that was the hot commodity. Everybody wanted to build it. And right now, warehousing is the hot commodity. And I think as we look at logistics change and how things are delivered, I think you have a real opportunity for those to become obsolete. And I don't want to see a million-square-foot warehouse sitting somewhere and trying to figure out how to either subdivide it or redevelop that. So I think that smaller industrial flex space is a real key for us.
So what are some businesses for those? I, as a realtor, I do work with, you know, a lot of commercial clients. And one of the biggest questions that we have is, what zoning category do we fit in? Are we heavy industrial? Are we light industrial? Are we flex space? Are we manufacturing, ROM? There's so many different categories. And again, depending on the township, all those zoning regulations change when you cross a municipal line. So you're saying flex space. So what are some examples of some businesses? You said lights, cabinetry. I mean, what are you?
Yeah, so I said light manufacturing. So, you know, we have Anderson Glass. It was a Hunterdon County business, but they moved to Bethlehem Township. And it was interesting because for those who have been around a long time, that was the Dave's Family Auction, which is kind of an institution, at least in the northern part of the county. And we weren't sure what that building was going to turn into because it was so uniquely structured for the auction. Mm-hmm. And so Anderson's been wonderful, and they've redeveloped that building quite nicely, and they're happy to be there. And you know, the key is, I think, just being able to work with the township. So, you know, we have a highway commercial zone. We do have an ROM zone. 173 has some pre-existing, or actually a lot of pre-existing non-conforming, so we have a lot of people who live there. We have a lot of people who live there and choose to do so because they own a business. So whether you're an electrician or a small engine shop, they live and work there. And so that's a little bit of a challenge, too, in figuring out how to integrate some of those when people are living along 173. So we need to be respectful of that. And then we have some larger sites. So we had an old plastics manufacturing company, and then now it is a – reseller of construction equipment. And so they sell industrial rubber tracks for track machines. And they've just redeveloped that building, too. And they did a beautiful job. It's a wonderful building. It's active and brings it back onto the ratable scale. So it's nice to see that. It could be just a small. We've had a small truck repair shop. We've had Bourbon Street Liquors redevelop a liquor store. So that was phenomenal. But, that one I point out because they came in. They needed some site approvals. No variances. I don't remember. They may have needed some small ones, but most of it was a site plan. They were in and out of our planning board in one night.
Wow.
And so at least on the municipal level, we try to make it as easy as possible. They ran into some snags on the state level, and even at that, I'll ask my engineer, can you go see how we can assist from the municipal side? So yeah, we want things that are appropriate, but if they fit, we're going to do our best to help out.
So we're seeing growth in two locations in Bethlehem Township, the 173 corridor, and then also down in the valley. Is that correct? So that's kind of where our master plan is showing in the next 5 to 10 years?
Yes, a little further west in the valley as we approach Bloomsbury and the on-off, and that's where the ROM zone is. And again, trying to find something appropriate for that.
And the rest of it's really, it's not going to change much, the rest of the township. No. It's either in the Highlands Preservation or due to the zoning restrictions. It's pretty much going to stay open space, green space, residential, so we're not going to see too many other changes happening.
Correct, and that's what I'd like to see, and that's why I think a lot of people chose to live there. Again, we just want to find some ways to take that burden off. I mean, as a municipality and the township committee and as mayor, I look at respecting the taxpayer holistically. So we're responsible for a very small portion of their tax bill on the municipal level. We realize a lot of it goes to the school. Some people say, kind of blame the school. I never do that. We just have to realize that a good portion of that goes to the school. So if I can find a way to take some of the burden off the residents to help pay for the school burden, then that's wonderful. And especially as the school funding formula has changed this past year, there's a significant impact of our residents coming forward.
Well, and a lot of the reasons that people move to your township is because of the school districts.
It very much is. That's the key. Again, going back to real estate, home values. What is our role? I ask the rest of my committee members all the time, what is our number one responsibility? And it's preserving home values. And that's everything we need to do. We need to realize that we have to preserve home values. And so a lot of it has to do with families. So if we're going to see some growth in those home values, we need families to want to be there. They need the desire to be in Bethlehem Township. So that goes towards our Heritage Park and how well we maintain that and what facilities are there. Our schools, of course, are always tops on the list. I try to talk to a lot of new residents when they move in, and schools are always something that they share. We're limited in services, but make sure that our roads are cared for and that they're plowed, and consistently Bethlehem, I'll say, are probably some of the best roads in all of Hunterdon County during storms if you come out there. So, New Jersey Family Magazine's ranked us in, the top 10 multiple years, which I think is quite an accomplishment for a rural community like Bethlehem Township, and we're proud of that.
And you should be. Like I said before, it really is a hidden gem. Once you get outside the county, not too many people know where Bethlehem Township, yes, Township is. So the fact that you're able to achieve that kind of ranking is wonderful. It is 5:30 now, so we're going to move on to the news, but we'll be back in a few minutes.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
Secretary of State Mike Pompeo was in Finland on Monday meeting with his Russian counterpart. America's top diplomat says he made it clear to the Russians once again to stay out of American elections.
It's not appropriate. We're going to do everything we can to deter it.
President Trump is paying tribute to the U.S. Military Academy football team.
With your victories over Air Force and Navy and a lot of other great schools, you have won 5 in a row and ended last season ranked 19th in the nation.
During a White House ceremony on Monday, President Trump presented the Commander-in-Chief's trophy to West Point's Army Black Knights for the second straight year. The United States is sending both bombers and a carrier strike group to the Middle East. National Security Advisor John Bolton says the presence of American military is to send a message to the Iranian government that any attack on U.S. or its allies will be met with unrelenting force. And you're listening to USA Radio News.
It's amazing but true. When it comes to one of America's biggest household expenditures, health care, a lot of people think they've got no choice. People are used to thinking we have to do it this way, but they don't. Yes, you have the freedom to choose an alternative with your health care. It's MediShare, and it costs way less than the alternatives. The typical family saves $500 a month, not a year. a month. And if you're single, this can save you a lot, too. And let's face it, a big reason MediShare is 400,000 people strong, it just works. They've shared over $3 billion in medical bills, so they can help share your needs, too. Joining MediShare for so many people is one of those things that makes you say, why didn't I do this before? So yes, the time has come for something better. Look into joining MediShare and see why so many people are opting out of the old way and into the new. Why not look into this? Just call 855-90-PSALM. That's 855-90-PSALM. 855-90-PSALM.
While the national average for a gallon of gasoline remained relatively unchanged last week, that could dramatically change in the coming days as the U.S. trade war with China heats up.
Despite optimism being expressed during the 11 weeks of negotiations with China, the U.S. has now threatened to impose $200 billion in additional tariffs on Chinese goods. Patrick DeHaan of GasBuddy.com explains what could happen.
Escalating a trade battle with China is going to slow down the U.S. economy, and that could undermine the economy. And the risk there to the price of oil is that a slowdown in the economy would hit oil demand as well. And so it's possible that oil prices continue to move lower.
Crews are working to drain fuel from a plane that slid off a runway into a river in Florida. National Transportation Safety officials say the fuel has to be removed before the Boeing 737 can be hauled out of the St. John's River in Jacksonville. 135 passengers and 7 crew members all made it off safely. And you're listening to USA Radio News.
Hi, I'm Wayne Allyn Root, the conservative warrior. My show War Now airs every day right here on USA Radio from 6 to 9 p.m. Eastern. I'm also the star of the Wayne Allyn Root Show on Newsmax TV, reaching over 50 million homes. But my favorite role is speaker extraordinaire. I was opening speaker at many Donald Trump for President events. I speak at Republican, conservative, and college GOP events, and I'm available to be the star at your next event. Contact me to arrange for a Wayne Root keynote speech. Call toll-free 888-444-ROOT. That's 888-444-ROOT. Or email wayneroot@gmail.com.
A North Carolina community about 30 miles north of Charlotte is mourning the death of a police officer. Mooresville residents set up a memorial for 32-year-old Officer Jordan Sheldon, who was shot and killed during a traffic stop late Saturday night.
We band together when needed, and we've always been a strong town and community, and I think it shows tonight just how strong we are.
And Mooresville resident Aaliyah McGowan also says,
I've lived here all my life, 38 years, and I've never known a police officer to be killed in the line of duty.
There are 2 frozen food recalls in the news, and USA Radio Network's Chris Barnes has the details.
One of the recalls is for 2 million pounds of frozen entrees made for the P.F. Chang brand because of a mislabeling issue. The brand's home menu chicken pad thai and chicken fried rice may have milk as an ingredient which was not listed on the product labels. Milk can produce an allergic reaction in those who are lactose intolerant. Meanwhile, Tyson Foods has recalled 12 million pounds of chicken strips. The frozen ready-to-eat chicken strip items were produced between October 1st and March 8th, with use-by dates of October 1st, 2019 through March 7th of 2020. That recall is because of potential metal contamination, as small pieces of metal have been found in some of those products. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
For more news, check out usaradio.com. For USA Radio News, I'm Tim Berg.
Hello, and welcome back to Episode 3 of Curate. I'm your host, Devin LeCompte, with Keeneland Lattman, Sotheby's International Realty. And today we are here in studio with Paul Muir, talking about some of his roles in the private sector and the public sector, and via his charitable aspect of his life. So we just wrapped up discussing some what's going on in Bethlehem Township in terms of economic development, where we're going to see growth. One thing I started to ask Paul about off air, but I figured it's a good topic to at least touch on since it is a very hot topic right now, is the affordable housing within Bethlehem Township. Where do we see your community with that?
Sure. You've got me with all these hot topics on a Monday to get my week started.
Exactly.
Bethlehem is somewhat fortunate with the affordable housing. This is a long ongoing issue that we wish the state legislature would take back control of and take it out of the courts, which is what makes it so difficult. But that's where we are. Bethlehem, again, I'd mentioned that the Highlands Planning Area is in the most beautiful portion of our valley, right next to the Musconetcong River, which is a C1 protected stream. And that, since the planning area, is the only place that I can put an affordable housing overlay. So that's where our affordable housing went, but there are a lot of stipulations for it to ever be built. So it needs to have a sewer system, it needs to have public water, and the likelihood of that ever happening next to the Musconetcong is almost non-existent based on the environmental sensitivity of the area. So in that respect, we were fortunate with the way the Highlands had planned that area. And so what we have is called the durational adjustment. We were one of the first in the state to settle with Fair Share, and so we're in that process of kind of moving on and preparing to make sure that we have affordable housing for the next round and meeting our previous obligations. You know, I serve on the board of the Conference of Mayors, and the thing that I talk about, so while we've settled now for round three, we know round four is coming.
I have to chime in. Yes. Every time I talk to Paul, I find out about another board that he's on. So,
but I always ask that continue. Question, how can I have to stop asking. It all starts with how can I help, and everybody takes me up on that offer. But again, you know, part of the things there is it's you know, an alliance of the mayors, and we work with the League of Municipalities, and the municipalities need to own that conversation. You know, these settlements go to 2025. It sounds like it's far away. It's not. A lot of us have previous obligations we're still working on, and we need to own that conversation. You know, my concern for Bethlehem Township, and I've said it, is it's not necessarily affordable no matter what I do. You need to understand we're a rural community. I don't see a lot of growth, so we talked about the open space and the farmland preservation. Even the businesses we would bring in are limited in the job numbers they're going to bring. I don't have transportation, so you're going to need a vehicle. You're going to need to insure that vehicle. You need to pay for gas to get somewhere with that vehicle. It's not affordable in the sense that a lot of, you know, that we would think. So we're happy to provide affordable housing and find, again, everything's about balance, and that's what's tough in today's world. Everybody wants to go to one extreme or the other. But, again, you need to realize the community that we're in. Even though Bethlehem has made a settlement, I want to be part of that discussion going forward, so we're not behind the eight ball as most municipalities were in round three. The municipalities need to, again, open that conversation up early and really hope that that legislature and work with our legislature to take that back because it should not be in the courts. It cost towns, even cost us for a durational adjustment that should have been simple, hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars that our taxpayers all had to pay for, and other towns are into the millions, and we can't have that happening when we're having the discussions about the affordability for everybody in New Jersey, not just affordable housing.
That's a very interesting point that you bring up that I think gets overlooked. Paul, what is your current obligation?
So we have 156 units.
And that's not just for this last round, that's total, correct?
That's actually for this last round. We think we have, I don't have the exact number, probably mid-20s left. And so I will put that out there because a portion of what some of these settlements are is we need to advertise what we're able to do. So our previous round was actually an accessory apartment agreement. And so if there are people in Bethlehem Township who have barns and lofts and garages and things that they may be using, we actually have dollars that we'll help spend to convert. But they are deed restricted for 10 years. The affordable limits for somebody living in Hunter County are relatively high.
Well, that's a really fantastic point. I believe, and correct me if I'm wrong, Franklin Township did that mm-hmm. many years ago, yes. Not in regards to affordable housing, mm-hmm. but for the auxiliary structures. So, for example, if somebody lives in Bethlehem Township and they do have a garage apartment, or they want to get a garage apartment, or if they have an outbuilding that they want to convert into an apartment, perhaps for their mother or their elderly parents that need to move closer to them and maybe are low income.
It could work out. The only caveat is they need to apply through the county, so they cannot always guarantee that it would be their family member that would get that unit. That's the only thing that I do make clear to people. So
okay.
I wouldn't go in with the expectation that you could do that for a family member. But, yes, I mean, yeah, that's one thing. You know, the affordable housing in Hunter County, a lot of the counties in New Jersey, is relatively high. So, I mean, a lot of young professionals would qualify coming out of college, teachers especially, mm-hmm. and they can stay close to their family where they grew up. older residents. And so there's a lot of opportunity. And you know, I'll throw out there, and it's kind of in a nice way, is if, because we know they're out there, if there are apartments or accessory apartments that are there, because we were an agricultural community, so if that aren't registered, we're happy to help you work through that registration process and get you through that and get a part of the affordable housing obligation and count towards that.
That's
and
fantastic.
Help out our township.
Yeah, that's a great way to work on that balance.
Yes.
So is there anything else in regards to Bethlehem Township that you want to touch on? I think we have it covered. And
it's a wonderful place, and we keep looking to, again, find a wonderful balance so that families can stay there and grow with their young children and have the next generation live there.
It's a beautiful. I've done some work there myself, and I have some friends that live there and some clients that live there, and it really is. It's everyone. The school systems are fantastic. They couldn't be happier with the community and with the location because it is convenient. As Hunterdon County is in general, with the proximity to our big cities, but we are, of course, still a rural community.
Yes.
So moving on to your Red Mill Executive Director status, that is quite the undertaking. And you and I, because I am affiliated with a nonprofit, we've had some back and forth with your role at the Red Mill. What's going on there? What do you do? What is the Red Mill for those who don't know?
I hope there's nobody out there that doesn't know what the Red Mill is, but if there isn't, so it is the most photographed building in the state of New Jersey, one of the top five in the country.
According to who? That's, I say that all the time.
I know. We go through. actually, Instagram just, I think, put it on as one of the top five Instagram photos. So I'll use them as a reference, but I will find out who actually tracks it for us for the statewide. trying to get me in trouble on the radio.
it's a question I always get asked. I'm like, it's the most photographed place in New Jersey. Like, according to who?
so we're a historic museum focused on education. And, you know, the thing that I've done in the previous few years is really looking at it as part of the community. What's interesting to me is I've been involved with Red Mill for almost 10 years now, and I started off as a board member. I was board president and then acting director at one point, and then eventually for the past 3.5 years I've been the executive director. And when I officially became executive director, I went to a New Jersey Historic Commission presentation, and I took my assistant director, Marie Salthouse, and we went down, and it was talking about expanding audiences within museums. And the opening slide on the presentation was a drain, a shower drain, with the water going around and into
Uh-oh.
It. And it was a museum operations professor from SUNY, from State University mm-hmm. of New York. And she said, this is your industry. And so I was like, wow, that's quite the introduction to taking over the site. And the Red Mill itself, too. We had a budget deficit. And so it definitely hit home at that point. And, you know, talking about the audiences and what people want and what people connect to. And what's interesting is I talk about enjoying what I do in life, and a lot of things interconnect. So, you know, going back to the cars, I always talk about them all the time, but what do people like in cars? So, you know, I have a 1926 Model T, and everybody asks me about it. It rarely goes out, and it's really not worth much of anything because nobody knows how to drive it. Nobody has a connection to it. Nobody even really remembers being in one with their grandparents at this point. So, cars, much like that museum, if you watch the values kind of scale, because it is a business for me too, what the cars that have the value are what the generations that have investment dollars connect with, and whether it's a smell, a noise, or a sound that it made. And same thing with the museum. So we're an agricultural museum. We share the industrial history and agricultural history of Hunterdon County. But as I watch school tours, we have over 4,000 school children come through, and we've expanded that program. So we have students from Jersey City and North coming out to us. What can they identify with when they come to our site? And that's what I really want to be, really a part of the community. So that's the things that we've been focusing on over the past 3.5 years of not being part of that shower drain, and how can we really be part of the community and a place for the community to come and learn and share together.
That's fantastic. It is now 5:45, so we are going to move on to our last commercial break of the evening, but more about Paul Muir and the Red Mill when we get back.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in that critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody out there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you!
Did you know the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in? Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
And welcome back to Curate. I'm your host, Devin LeCompte. I have Paul Muir in here in studio with me today. And we're talking about the Red Mill Museum Village in Clinton, New Jersey. Paul, you want to give a quick history about the property and what it is, why it's there?
Sure. I'll kind of build upon that idea of community. And that's why I think, you know, while it's what's helping us grow, it's also being respectful to the past and the history of our museum. We've been a museum for 53 years now, so our history as a museum is now history, and it was the mill, of course, was built in 1810, and then that was in operation until 1928, and as part of the pumping station and the water authority in Clinton, which is kind of what saved it a little bit. And then we have the quarry area is the rest of our site, so we have 10 acres and 12 buildings. That was in operation until 1963. And there was, as we affectionately call them, the Red Mill Five. So there were three business owners locally, a teacher, and an artist who also helped start the Hunterdon Art Museum. And they saw the kind of – this is why I say a lot of things I do link together. Going back to economic development, you know, you asked about the mill in 1955. Clinton, I've seen some pictures. You know, Clinton, I think, kind of lost its identity. The river is really the basis of economic development in Clinton, and it was there for the industrial might, for the mills. There, you know, there's a shirt factory, there's a cigar factory, there are two mills. And then as those became obsolete, you know, they started to fail. And I've seen pictures in our collection of weeds growing up through the sidewalks and Clinton kind of not looking as bucolic as it does now in the 50s. And these Red Mill, you know, as we call them again, the Red Mill Five,
said, well, this mill has almost become symbolic of the decay of what's there in Clinton, and they took it upon themselves to restore it and make it a museum. And so we're very much serious about what we do as a museum. We have two rotating exhibits. We have a phenomenal education program. We're working on a new, which I'll hope to talk about, on this new online educational tool that we're going to offer to schools. But again, it was part of being part of the community. And so we honor that, I believe, of the Red Mill 5 and really being part of that community. And now I think we're part of the economic engine through heritage tourism, and that river still serves the same purpose of powering that with our Red Mill and the art museum next to us.
So how can somebody get involved?
So that's the other great thing about the mill is there are so many different opportunities. Whatever you have an interest in, we can find something that will serve your passion. So, you know, we have a collection. We have over 40,000 objects in our collections, so we always need help in digitizing that, recording, storing, managing, maintaining. Again, we have those 12 buildings, so we have quite a few people come in that have skills or may have been a carpenter, and they're looking for something to do on the side in retirement to help us out. Even younger, we've had some education programs built around those. Fundraising is always an issue that everybody talks about, so if you want to kind of have fun with that, come in. We have a development committee. All of our committees, we have community members, so not just our trustees. And a lot of times they end up sticking around and becoming trustees. But our programs committee, so we have programs throughout the year. We have lecture series. We have our kids' day. And so all this needs help, and they all have different aspects to them. So whatever you enjoy. I mean, we've had people create their own events. We have coming up May 18th, the Red Mill Retro Ride. And Robbie Lynn Wangi is one of – started as a tour guide and has a kind of bicycle restoration business. And she came up with this retro ride idea, and we let her run with it. And we support it, and it's grown. This is our second year. And it's geared towards a vintage bicycle ride through Clinton, the Lansdowne Trail. The dress should match the vintage of your bike, which is a really cool thing to see everybody go through Clinton in their proper...
Are you going on this ride?
I am. I'm going to stick to the town portion because I kind of help out behind the scenes. We have a cornhole tournament. We have a marketplace of handmade craft vendors at the same time. I do joke that I guess I'm getting old enough when they say vintage, and again, I save everything, even with.
So you have some clothes from when you were a kid.
So I have some bikes from the 60s and 70s. I'll say from the 70s and 80s. So I have my BMX bike from the 80s. So I keep threatening to wear the short shorts and the tube socks pulled up nice and high with my BMX bike from like 1983. I've had it out. My son just saw me do a little wheelie on my BMX bike. Not in that outfit. And thankfully, I didn't injure myself. As the front wheel of the bike was in the air, I'm thinking I'm going to injure myself. So I was safe. But but people go for much more vintage 40s, 50s, 60s, which is very cool to see riding through. But again, those are the opportunities. So if you have an idea, come on in, become part of the team, and run with it.
How can they reach out to you?
So the website is the best way to find out all of everything that we have to offer. It's pretty easy to function and navigate and see what we have. Feel free to reach out to me. My email is real easy. It's director@theredmill.org. And so if there's any ideas that you have or any questions about the museum, please send me an email, and we'll get in contact. That's how a lot of things start.
So we have 3 minutes left. Is there anything that you want to touch on?
Sure. Well, I'm going to touch. I'm excited about this online educational tool that we're putting together. So the Astle Alpaw Family Foundation, which is here in Huntington County, helped fund this, along with the Round Mountain Group, which is a technology firm. And it's in response to Allie McGarren, was a trustee and well-known educator and mayor in Clinton. And she had done these walking tours that are well-known. And we're using her collection and the walking tour as a basis. And it's going to follow the walking tour and allow people to experience history throughout Clinton, but then we'll expand upon. So if you hit to a train station or a bank or a hotel, we'll talk about transportation in that time period throughout New Jersey. And it's going to be available to all classrooms in New Jersey and completely free. I go and speak to schools all the time and talk about history. But some of our staff members do the same. And especially on local history, schools just don't have the funding. So this will be all first source documents and photos. There'll be two paths for students to explore on their own, or the teacher can share. And so we're really excited to honor the legacy, but then also serve our mission. I don't think there's another museum right now in New Jersey offering something similar to the educational community.
I haven't heard of one. That seems absolutely phenomenal. And what a resource.
Yes.
You know, for our local schools, but not only our local schools, for the greater state.
Yes.
That's amazing. Well, thank you for being here, Paul.
Well, thank you. I really enjoyed the time. Time flew by.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. We're very glad to hear that. So we're here every Monday at 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. on the Hunterdon County Chamber Radio. Again, I'm Devin LeCompte. I can be found online, Facebook or Instagram, at the handle Devin B. LeCompte. And again, I would just like to thank Paul. I really appreciate your time here. I know that you are an incredibly busy man. And again, of course, thanks to the Hunterdon County Chamber team for all your help behind the scenes on bringing the show to air, and for everyone who's listening today and making this possible. If you're craving more Curate, please continue to follow us on Facebook at Devin B. LeCompte for more from this episode and future episodes, as well as archived podcasts can be found at HunterdonChamber.org. If you have an idea for an episode or would like to be featured on Curate, please contact us at dlecompte@klsir.com. Thanks again for listening, and we look forward to more next week from Lisa Perry of Yoga at the Farm.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's physician referral service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
Attorney General William Barr is set to face a contempt of Congress resolution. Now, this is the latest escalation in the showdown over the release of the Mueller report. Republican Congressman from Georgia, Doug Collins, reminds Democrats.
This is 12 times, I'll put it in perspective for you, Harris. They're doing this 12 times faster than the Republicans held Eric Holder in contempt. Over 460-something days before the Republicans held Eric Holder in contempt for not complying with subpoenas. We're looking at less than 43 days here.
Secretary of State Mike Pompeo was in Finland meeting Monday with his Russian counterpart. America's top diplomat says Russia is expected to stay out of Venezuela.
I made clear our view that the Venezuelans deserve a democracy that doesn't have any foreign party running their country or involved in their country on a consistent basis in a military way.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
Do you wish you could get better sleep and maybe lose a few pounds? Maybe more than a few pounds? Well, there's this product called Calitrin that helps with both sleep and weight loss. Just listen to what people are saying about it.
I've been taking Calitrim for right about 3 months, and I've lost 24 pounds and 19 overall inches. But my sleep has improved, I have so much more energy, and I have the desire to succeed more than ever. Anyone who needs weight loss, more energy, and better sleep, this product really does deliver.
Hi, I'm Roger. Over the 3 months that I took the product, my sleeping habits are increasingly much better. I got a better night's sleep, and I just can't say enough about the product and how it makes you feel. Also, additionally lost a little bit of weight on the program as well.
Hi, this is Erickson. I take Calitrin for weight loss, and I've lost about 20 pounds, and I feel great.
Calitrin is scientifically proven to help with sleep and weight loss safely and effectively. Check it out at toploss.com. That's toploss.com.
The UK celebrates a royal birth. And USA Radio Network's Chris Barnes has the details.
Husband and new dad, Prince Harry, confirming the arrival outside of Windsor Palace Monday morning, saying that the boy weighs 7 pounds, 3 ounces.
It's been the most amazing experience I could ever possibly imagine. How any woman does what they do is beyond comprehension.
The child is the 7th in line to the British throne, and it's Queen Elizabeth II's 8th great-grandchild.
A new Gallup poll show President Trump's job approval rating sitting at 46%. That's a new high for the president. His previous Gallup poll high was 45%. The national survey was conducted April 17th to April 30th. And a final look at your numbers on Wall Street at the closing bell. The Dow was down 66 points to close at 26,438. And you're listening to USA Radio News.
Now you can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less, guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
800-215-5...
Return to work. I had received so many gifts of angels in many different forms, pillows, pens, pins, so many different things. But what I could wear back to work was the bracelet with an angel on it. So I like that they're wearable and that they last a long time.
Yeah, that's very nice. Okay, I have a couple of sponsors to hear from, and then we're going to come back and talk a little bit longer.
You're listening to W.